Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Radhukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalised view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. In this show today, I will be following on from last week's episode and talking about Ayurveda and the mind and the role today's mental health. In the show today, I will cover the importance of mental health following the increasing reporting in mental health issues after COVID 2020. I'll explain how Ayurveda teaches us what happens when we suffer mental health issues and the concept of our superficial and deep minds and how we process experiences and events in our lives and how they're so important for our mental health. I will discuss how Ayurveda explains the role of trauma as a common factor leading to mental health problems. I'll do a brief recap on last week's show about the qualities of the mind as explained in Ayurveda and their importance in our mental health. And I will explain what Ayurveda can teach us about preventing and managing mental health issues, as well as some techniques we can use to utilize to maintain positive mental health. Now, in the past few years, since COVID pandemic, we have become acutely aware of how important our mental health is to our overall well-being. We are living in a time where people report suffering mental health problems more than ever before. There have been some studies from the US that show that 20% of adults have experienced depressive episodes, and with over 1 in 10 people under the age of 18 in the US experiencing depression. And that essentially means a depressive episode which affects them and the ability to function at school, work, home, army, and even their social lives. And bearing in mind that these studies date back to before COVID in 2020, and it has been recognised that the incidence of mental illness in all age groups has increased since COVID 2019 and 2020. This is a significant problem at the moment. And what's just as important when discussing this is that many of those suffering from mental health issues do not seek help. The commonly used treatments of antidepressants have been shown to be effective only in about 40% of cases. And they have significant problems with their use, not least in trying to come off them. Ayurveda teaches us that we experience mental health issues when there is a disturbance of the flow of energy, or what's called prana, through the subtle channels of the mind. And these are called nadi in Sanskrit. So essentially it's a problem in the smaller channels of our mind, through which our energy flows, our subtle energy flows. And we need this energy to process our thoughts, our emotions, and our feelings. Essentially, all our lived experiences have to be processed through these subtle channels in the mind. Now, in Ayurveda, it is understood that we have a superficial mind and a deeper mind. And one can almost think of that as our conscious and our unconscious minds, even though that's an oversimplification. But it's a useful way to understand the different minds that we work within. And the superficial part of the mind is working on the surface, so to speak, and it's taking in all the immediate day-to-day experiences via our five senses, which we've spoken about in previous episodes. It then has to process it, organize it, and help us to keep the world in order so that we can remember what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, eating, and so on. And then there are the deeper aspects of the mind. This is the deeper aspect of our minds that is processing our connectedness to the whole of the universe and our existence, which is something we obviously don't access on a day-to-day basis, but it's still working deep in our minds behind the scenes. And we need to understand how we take in all our experiences through our five senses, how they can be overstimulated at times, causing us to overload our superficial mind, which then leads to disturbance of the subtle flow of energy, of this prana or life force I spoke about earlier, which is present in all our minds. So if we're taking too much of a specific food, that can overwhelm our taste sensation. If we're listening to Italy and too much loud noise, or keeping too much silence, we'll have these, and that'd be sending kind of, which is all hope then be used as a mechanism of torture. So there's an over, an excess or an imbalance within our experiences, our sensations, how we interpret the world through our minds. So another very important point is that one of the commonest causes of illness, or the root cause of illness, and especially mental or psychological illness in Ayurveda, is what's called crimes against our inner wisdom. Or in Sanskrit, it has a long term called prajnaparana. And this is when we do things against our better knowledge, our innate knowing, what we know deep inside. And we all know that feeling, that when we do something that we know is wrong. And this can eat us up with self-loathing, with anger, regret, and ultimately can lead to mental illness. It can give us symptoms of anxiety, fear, sadness, and depression. And if these become excessive, we end up with a mental illness. Now, as I said, we experience the world through our five senses: the sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. Our brain is working constantly to process all the information we see through our senses. So this is what I'd explain as our conscious mind of yoga. And at a deeper level is our subconscious mind, which, as I said, processes our relationship to the whole world and the universe on a spiritual or a psyche level. That's the best way I can understand and explain it. And this part of our mind focuses, once again, on our connectedness, on the meaning of our existence, and how to live a meaningful and fulfilled life. So it's the most important thing that we need to contemplate, dwell, and focus and think about. However, when we experience significant disturbance in our superficial minds through, like I say, overloading or over-simulation of our senses, or even through issues such as unprocessed past trauma, this can have an effect upon our deeper mind, or through these channels, these subtle channels that are present in our mind where we process information and process, work out how problems can be sorted and how things can be managed and dealt with on a deeper level. So if they become too severe, this can affect us at our subconscious level, which causes us great suffering, deep confusion, and a deterrent can. And living in our modern fast-paced life causes increased motion in our systems and our daily lives, and increased movement in our superficial mind. So we can get caught up in the moment, so to speak. We get caught up in our activities and in our our days and our lives, so to speak. And this prevents us from accessing our subconscious mind to process or digest deeper emotions and thoughts and feelings that we encounter. So it's almost like we lose the ability to connect with our deeper selves and connect with our inner wisdom that we know is like a voice telling us to listen and take notice, and we don't do it. And this can lead to behaviors or habits which we know are harmful, which can lead to physical and mental ill health problems. And this itself, this cycle is a cause of deep frustration, internal conflict and suffering when we are acting against our better instincts. And this is fundamentally the main reason we suffer from mental health issues. The experience of trauma is a significant factor in the development of mental illness, and I thought it'd be worth discussing briefly. Now, trauma is a common experience when we struggle to cope with and process things in our mind following an adverse effect. And it is defined as a strong event that injures us at a subtle energetic level. It can be caused by many different events or factors, and we have all suffered trauma varying degrees and severity. Now, Ayurveda understands that we are affected by trauma at different levels in our body, at our physical body level, at our energetic body level, and at what's called our karmic body level. This is almost in our soul, so to speak, at a very deep, deep inside the other, definitely the back frame. And at these deeper levels, it can be difficult to access or feel the trauma in a way that we need to be able to process it. But it still has an effect on us, and it can manifest as physical and mental health problems immediately or more often later on in our lives. In Ayurveda, we believe that our life force, or the prana that I discussed before, moves through our body and our mind as energy flows through thousands of little channels in the body, of the body and the mind. And classical Chinese medicine had a similar concept of energy flow through what they called meridians, and it's not dissimilar from that concept. So when this energy flows naturally, we experience peace of mind and optimal health. And this is when we feel our true self. However, when there's a disturbance of this energy flow, it will affect both our body and mind. And trauma creates a powerful and lasting effect on this energy flow, which can separate us from our natural selves. So we don't see where things have become unbalanced or things have become disturbed. And trauma can also cause changes in our behavior towards ourselves and towards others. And it can cause changes in our habits, which can lead to self-destructive and harmful behaviors. Our emotions then become dominated by fear and sadness and depression and anxiety, and we feel isolated and disconnected from ourselves and from others. I think this is a good point to take a break, just to reflect on what I've spoken about, and I'll come back and recap on how Ayurveda explains the qualities of the mind and how important that is in order to maintain positive mental health. We'll be back very shortly in a few minutes.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment, we explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. But this is at this point, I think it's helpful to recap last week's episode on Ayurveda and how it explains the qualities of the mind. Because we're talking about the mind and the effect it has upon mental health when the energy flow or that is disturbed flow in our in the channels of our mind, and this how this can cause mental health issues such as depression and anxiety. So in Ayurveda, it uses the same tridoshic concept, which is there are three types of energies that affect us in our mind, and those are sattva, rajas, and tamas. And don't worry too much about the Sanskrit terms at the moment. They're just terms that are used to explain how the mind functions in three different kind of characteristics. And this is similar to the tridoshic concept of vata, pitta, and kapha that we use to explain how we made it in our physical constitution of three different types of constitution. And the same applies to our mind. So we are all part of nature as human beings, and as such we reflect that nature through the qualities of our mind. And sattva represents our ultimate expression of our mind being at peace. So in emotionally and spiritually we are calm, at peace, focused, and at one with our true selves. So it's the perfect expression of our mind being at peace. And I've used the analogy before of thinking of a calm, tranquil lake on a moon and a full moon night with the reflection of the moon perfectly reflected on the surface of the lake. And this would be a good example in nature of what a sattvic mind feels like and looks like. Now, rajas, on the other hand, represents our mind in turmoil or more agitated. We feel disturbed and agitated and restless. Our emotions are easily provoked and we suffer the emotions of fear, anxiety, rage, resentment and jealousy predominantly. So if we think of the same lake, when we throw a rock into the lake, that distorts the image of the reflected moon and stars in the lake, in the waters of the lake. And that's a visual representation of what rajas looks and feels like. And tamas is the third quality of the mind, and this represents our mind feeling stuck or inert. We feel melancholic, depressed, we're lacking in motivation and feel lethargic in our minds, and we can become withdrawn and self-absorbed if we have too much of that quality in our minds. Once again, thinking of the analogy of the lake, if that lake has the mud at the bottom stirred up, what will happen is that the murky water then will obscure the it will still remain calm at the top, but it'll be murky and muddy, so you won't be able to see the reflected moon and the stars in the clarity that you would if you were in a sattvic state. Now, Ayurveda teaches us how to live a life true to our inner wisdom and our core beliefs by trying to focus as much on the sattvic quality of the mind. And these are the qualities of love, compassion, and kindness. So if we think and we contemplate and we foster these, cultivating these emotions, we will develop more sattvic qualities in our mind. But in reality, as I explained, we fluctuate between the rajas and tamas states in our mind, and we rarely reach a sattvic state. We do for short periods, but not for the most time of our experience during the day. So our goal then is to try and transcend or to let go of these conflicting states of mind, of turmoil and inertia, to try and reach this goal of a sattvic state of the mind, or promote the sattvic qualities in the mind. And this allows us to experience peace of mind and equilibrium in all situations, even in stressful situations. We're able to cope with that a lot better. And it will cultivate a more positive mindset in us as well. Now, as I explained earlier, COVID-19 gave us that moment to pause. And a lot of people felt the benefit from it. However, we are back in our normal cycle of rajas and tamas and living our busy lives again. And we may not have learned from the experience. But for many of us, the separation and isolation experience that came after COVID made us feel more anxious and stressed than even before. And this has an experience of it has an adverse effect on the mental health, which may be still ongoing. For instance, the loss of a job, loss of family members, friendship groups, loss of social connection, general sense of isolation, and to may be the experience of many of us after COVID. So Ayurveda teaches us how to live a life true to our inner wisdom, our core belief, by focusing on the sattva, clearly in the mind. And they are love, compassion, kindness, and ultimately joy in our lived experience. And this will help us cope with a lot of the issues that I would hope that help us cope with a lot of issues that have gotten worse since COVID-19 in 2020. So the aim of treating trauma and in Ayurveda is to restore the natural flow of prana or energy to the body and mind by healing at this subtle body and mind level. And it's the same for the concept for treating mental health issues such as depression and anxiety. And it teaches us first and foremost how to relearn how to use our senses properly and how to be aware when they are overloaded or overstimulated, or how we're suffering, that we're conscious of that, and that we're able to take steps to control how our senses are to manage our senses, to keep them in balance, our sensory experience. It teaches us also how to learn to make healthy choices in our lives, and ultimately how to reconcile our relationship with ourselves at a deeper and spiritual level, because really that's the most important thing, that we start to reconcile even ourselves, be happy within ourselves, and be as close to our natural center as and physically and psychologically. And in doing so, it can help us restore our connectedness to the year, the end, is meeting being. And these are lovely concepts. They sound very easy, but it's not easy. It's easy to miss them and so on, but it's not easy to achieve them. So how does Ayurveda help us achieve these both? One of the common things I've mentioned several times is by spending more time in nature and developing an awareness of all our five senses and how they work. Because when we're indoors a lot, our senses are not stimulated, or they may be understimulated in some aspects and overstimulated in other aspects. So when we're out in nature, it gives us an opportunity to experience sound and sight and smell and even taste, if we're tasting foraging and wild foraging, which is very popular these days. But it allows us to explore all our five senses equally. So being out in nature is clearly a very wonderful way to be able to become aware of our senses. Now, also by learning about the five element and three dosha concepts of Ayurveda, in the sense how our constitution is made up from nature, the elements of air, space, fire, water, and earth, and how these are manifested in the three doshas that make us up of vata, pitta, and kapha, and how these doshas, when they're in balance, can affect our body and mind, and how they function, and how we can learn to restore any dosha imbalance within us that may be causing us to be have physical illness or to be unwell in ourselves. So it's all about self-awareness and how the concepts of Ayurveda can help us maintain that. Ayurveda teaches us the practice of stillness and awareness through breathwork meditation, which is our practices I've mentioned again and again, which are very important. I will go into in a little more detail later on. It teaches us that the self-contemplation of what is greater than ourselves, be it out in nature or even in the divine or in an object of worship, or the greater world around us, in the beauty of a full moon on a clear night with the stars visible, as it was last night, the beauty of a sun rising early in the morning on a very clear morning, or a sunset on a clear evening. These evoke an awe and a reverence in us of about nature and how important nature is in the scheme of things, and also how small we are in the overall scheme of things. But we don't attach too much importance to our own lives. We see the greater and the greater part of the universe and nature expressed at these moments. And this helps us ground ourselves, and we can be a positive effect, I mean, on our health and our state of minds. So that's a brief recap on the qualities of the mind in Ayurveda and how they apply to maintaining positive and optimal state of mind and mental health, in order that we can protect from developing mental health issues. Also about how Ayurveda teaches us how to restore balance and to maintain the energy flows within our body and mind, to avoid these disturbed energy flows that can lead to mental health issues. And in the next part of the show, I will discuss some of the commonly used techniques that can be incorporated into daily practice to help us to restore balance and maintain balance, both in our body and especially in our mind, to prevent mental health problems developing and to help us cope with the stresses and strains that our modern lives put us under. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show. So I've been discussing about Ayurveda and the mind and the importance of qualities of the mind and how we experience our world through our five senses in order to be able to maintain the correct and energy flow in our subtle channels of the mind, which helps us process the world and our experiences and feelings and emotions to avoid us to becoming imbalanced in our minds and more likely to suffer from mental illness. In this part of the show, I'd like to discuss some of the techniques that are commonly used to help us restore this flow of prana or energy within the subtle channels of our mind. Essentially, these are techniques that have been tried and tested over thousands of years, which have been shown to have a beneficial effect on our mental health and our psychological state of mind. And a lot of them you may be familiar with, some you may not be familiar with, other terms you may not be so familiar with, but they're all they're very commonly spoken about and popularized today in online and by many people, mainly health experts. But they have been around for thousands of years in the same kind of form within the practice of Ayurveda. And the first of these is a practice called Yoga Nidra. Yoga is a word that's often added to a lot of these practices. And if you are like me before I learned about Ayurveda, you might think, why is it called yoga when it doesn't look like the yoga I've seen on TV or on videos? Now, yoga is, as I said before, a sister science of Ayurveda. So it's developed in the same time frame as Ayurveda, going back thousands of years. And yoga, in its purest form, is more like a meditation than an exercise. The exercises involved in yoga were often used to help the practitioner, the person practicing the technique, to rid themselves of any of the muscle tension in the body, so they would be in a more conducive frame of mind and body to be able to practice meditation, a meditation type of practice. So yoga nidra, it involves the use of what's called guided meditation. And this is to promote conscious deep relaxation while also maintaining a heightened sense of awareness and attention. So essentially you're putting your body to sleep and you're waking your mind a bit with that. So a good way of describing it. So you're kind of getting into, say, deep relaxation, but you're focusing your mind more and more within that relaxation. And during this practice, the patients can sometimes experience release of emotions and symptoms associated with past issues of trauma. So it's helpful to be done in a guided setting with a practitioner. So guided meditation can be done with a teacher, practitioner, who guides you through a series of images and thoughts during a meditative practice. And it can be done in lots of different ways, but to achieve lots of different types of goals. So, essentially what it is a form of deep muscular relaxation and trying to tune into your mind by developing this deep physical relaxation within the practice. And there are several apps and YouTube videos that you can access to try and create the same effect. No harm in doing so. I do that myself in order to practice yoga nidra, and it is very relaxing. And with practice, you may be able to develop that sense of focus and that also decluttering your mind from all the busyness that goes on in our head. So you can be almost reset, reprogram your mind during the practice, so that you're not constantly on the go with your mind, as we often feel that we are with the lives that we. A second practice that's often recommended is, of course, meditation. And meditation is a practice that helps by increasing your awareness and connectedness to the whole. So it's it creates the space in our mind for us to slow down and to reset. And it allows any disturbed energy in our minds, like I spoke about earlier, to settle down and let things resume their natural flow. And a very good analogy for this is if you think of those Christmas trees inside the glass, that when you shake it, the snow starts to come down from the bottom, And if you leave it for 7 minutes, this snow sauces out into the air. So if you can imagine, our mind is like that shook glass with the snow flying all over the place. If we can develop the practice of meditation, we have that effect upon leaving the glass still and letting the confetti and letting all the distractions and peripheral stuff just float to the ground, where it's not in the air disturbing us. And pranayama, a breathing practice, or breath work, is some practice you may certainly have heard of. It's very common, and there are practitioners who solely work on breath work and helping people to breathe in a way that's conducive to relaxation and to releasing any tension in the body. A practice that's commonly recommended is alternate nostril breathing, which is commonly used to restore the energy flow that's disturbed and achieve a balance in the subtle energies of the mind. And essentially, it's just alternate nostril breathing. Helps you control your breath and increase your focus and your attention. And this has been shown over time in many studies to have benefits for both the mind and the body. And how it works is that it regulates our nervous system. We know that stress activates our nervous system, and our bodies interpret stress as danger, and it reacts in preparation to the danger. So there's kind of like an overreaction sometimes. And our organs send out hormones that make our heart beat faster, and our breathing quickens, and our muscles tighten, and our senses become hyper-aware, hyper-vigilant. And this is what's called a stress response. And if it happens again, again, and again, we're in a state of constant stress. And this can lead to problems like high blood pressure and heart disease. If this is the state we want to avoid, and by practicing these types of medication, we can regulate our nervous system balance between the parasympathetic, the rest and digest, and the sympathetic, which is the fight or flight system, which is overactivated in a lot of us these days, so that we can regulate that and will prevent the problems that are associated with stress. This type of meditation has also been shown to have an effect on the repairing tissues, because it effectively puts us into the rest and digest and repair state, which allows us, it's like an exaggerated relaxation response. And this deep rest is what we need to go through the process of healing of the body tissues, which they need. There's an injury, an insult, and we need that healing just as part of our general repair of our bodies, not just a physical body, but our psychological bodies as well. And with regular practice, it can bring better balance to our nervous systems, so that we're able to cope with that stress response over time. We don't become so easily stressed. It has effect also lowering of blood pressure, deep breathing, and often up nostril breathing, and slower heartbeat, and lower our blood pressure naturally by the process of encouraging deep relaxation. It also improves our breathing. Which is important, because studies have shown that we're not breathing optimally for lots of reasons, quite often to do with stress. And it's shown that people who engage in this practice over 1 month have a better oxygen flow and can exhale or breathe out more oxygen in one breath. And this has an effect on improving our oxygenation, which is what we need oxygen for nutrition of all the tissues. And it can make our muscles stronger. It can make our diaphragmatic muscles stronger and working more in coordination. And it can help us with problems such as we have excess mucus or secretions in our bodies, or particularly in our lung. This can improve the excretion of these congested lungs, allow them to be more free. And studies have been done on people with early airways disease. By using this technique, they improved their ability to breathe, and often they feel like they're breathing better, which is an important thing as well, because stress and anxiety can affect our breathing patterns. And when we learn how to develop a when we learn a practice that encourages relaxation of the muscle tissues, we can breathe better. And as I said before, it lowers our fear and anxiety thresholds. So when we're getting anxious, we breathe more quickly and we breathe shallow or we breathe inefficiently, so that when we are short of breath, and you can feel more angry, anxious, and afraid. And using a deep breathing pattern, like alternate nostril breathing, can engage parts of our brain to make us more aware. And this can help manage our feelings and lower our anxiety levels. So it does sound very simple, but breathing in and out of alternate muscles to calm and balance the challenges of the mind is an excellent practice. It's certainly something that well worth trying. Other practices that you can try would involve body therapies, which would be in the line of Abhi Yanga, or self-massage, or a massage with a practitioner using medicated oils. They are all helpful to promote relaxation and can have a calm and beneficial effect on our minds. Shirodhara is one I've mentioned before, where it's a specific therapy where a medicated oil is poured on the area between the two eyes, just above the nose, and directly onto the forehead. That's a practice that's often done in clinics. So basically, these are treatments that involve the application of oils onto your skin. Some can be done at home, but clearly the Shirodhara is one that, when it's been poured on to you, you have to be lying on a bed, and it's best in a clinic situation. There are herbal medications as well, which I've mentioned before, that can have a calming and beneficial effect on the mind. And they're regarded as nervine tonics. Ashwagandha, Rami, and Gotukulu are ones I've mentioned in previous shows. And once again, in situations like this, it would be most advisable to see a practitioner to discuss any of the imbalances that are affecting your mind and your body, and to be prescribed a herbal medication accordingly, rather than having to self-diagnose and buy something in a health food shop or online, which is something I would say I don't recommend. So really, ultimately, the important thing about this particular episode, it is to recognize that when we suffer from a mental health disorder, it is simply that the flow of energy in our minds is disturbed for whatever reason. And usually it's to do with a sensory imbalance, or overstimulation or overload, or to do with past unprocessed trauma that's still having a deep effect, an effect on us that we can't quite understand. And it is important to recognize these. And these, if we approach a situation with a better knowledge of what may be causing the problem, we'll be a better chance of being able to deal and reverse the problem and hopefully put practices in place that will avoid these happening again, or that we can cope better with them in the future. So we're to learn of the patience and faith, and with regular persistent practice of these techniques, that we can achieve a mindset or a mental state that's calmer, more relaxed, and clearer in focus and in concentration. So this will allow us to restore the natural flow of prana or energy within our mind channels. And then that, when we're clearer in that, and when that's working better, then we can rediscover our true selves and feel more balanced within ourselves.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, annamayurveda.com, which is annam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Annam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí Fhuilán, Fad Saol. Healthy hearts, long life. Take care.